Hi, my beautiful people. This is Bimi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 17. I am so happy and so excited to be here with you guys today. We have so many incredible things for us to talk about. If you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am so grateful that you're here. I don't know how you've heard about us, but thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. This is a sacred space. I look forward to sharing with you, pouring into you, and being a vessel that is used during this time for your life, right? For those of you who have been a part of the tribe, you've been a part of the podcast, the newsletters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams. I want to thank you so much. I am always overwhelmed by the love, the support, and the follow-ups that you guys give me through email, through DMs, sometimes text messages. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. I am super grateful, happy, and thankful to be on this journey with you. And I want to tell you guys, I've been doing my preparation work before I do the episodes, and I'm not reading the daily devotion that I'm going to be reading on here, but I do my study. I do my referencing through different scriptures. I do my journaling. I do the things, right? And one of the things, and I kind of have chills as I'm about to say this, but one of the things that comes to mind as we are growing through this season, we are dealing with so many changes. There's so much that's happening. There's so many incredible opportunities that are popping up. Everything is changing, right? Everything is changing, and we're on our purpose. We're moving. We're aligned. We are connected. We're listening for God's voice, listening for God's direction. We just have so many insights, right? There's so many insights. And one of the things that stuck out to me, specifically right now, one of the things that sticks out to me is that God, the journey is not supposed to destroy us. It isn't meant to destroy us, right? The process isn't meant to destroy us. The discomfort isn't meant to destroy us. The heartbreak, the disappointment, the betrayal is not meant to destroy us. And in saying that, it's like, okay, sure, it's not meant to destroy us, but oftentimes it feels as though it does. And sometimes it does. It destroys a piece of us, right? But the purpose of it is a couple of things. But the part that I want to focus on today is discipline and obedience, right? Because we don't know the outcome. We don't know how these things are going to come to pass. We don't know how God's going to work it out. We don't know how we're going to be blessed. We don't know how we're going to reach this level or this pinnacle of success. We don't know how this relationship is going to pan out. We don't know how our children are going to ultimately turn out and behave. We don't know how the grief is going to change us. But what we do know is that inevitably it will. And it's going to work out. It is going to pan out. It's going to play out. And we have no choice but to stay the course. We can choose to not stay the course and hold ourselves back. But where's the progress in that? Where is the glory in that? Where is the actuality of the being in position and receiving in that? There is no good in holding ourselves back out of fear or discomfort. So as we're on this journey and we're navigating through and we're processing and we're gaining clarity and we're being, one of the things that is showing up is that in our obedience, in our discipline, that is where we get the grace. That is where we obtain the favor. That is where we reap the rewards. It isn't necessarily in reaching the pinnacle of the end or the journey coming to conclusion. It's that it, as long as we live, there'll be a new level to the journey. There'll be a new direction in the journey. But as we get and reach that part that God is asking us to continue along the journey for, When we get to a certain point in that journey, there's reward. And sometimes it's not a physical reward. Sometimes everyone's not looking for a new job. Everyone's not looking for a promotion. Everyone's not looking for a relationship to turn out into marriage or for a turnaround or for an escape from a relationship. Everyone's not looking for being able to birth children or raise children or get approvals for something. Not everyone is looking for things that are particularly tangible or able to be seen with the naked eye. Some people are looking for more structure. We're looking for more faith, a more ability to believe in something that is unseen, and we're needing to see the fruit of that, right? We're people are on this path to gain more clarity about themselves, to understand the whys behind who they are and where they've come from and why. Right. They're understanding the history, understanding ancestry, understanding the positioning in which has placed them where they are. A lot of what everyone is searching for are different aspects of deeper parts of themselves. And when you understand that part, you understand that the purpose of it is so much bigger than just our limited view of what we're dealing with and what we're going through and what we're asking for and praying for and believing comes to pass. It's deeper than that. It isn't just about you. And so when you look at the totality of where it is that we're facing, where it is that we are, what it is that we're enduring, and then you look at someone else's journey and you look at someone else's circumstances and you look at someone else's situation and you realize that they're looking for something differently, but we're still on the same path, it brings a lot of clarity to the totality of where it is that we are. And in obedience, we get closer to God. Navigating through our discipline, we build the confidence in continuing to move forward. But why is it that in obedience and in discipline, we're still meeting with obstacles? Because that gains, that what you gain in that is perseverance in a closer relationship with God. And you learn more about your weaknesses, your strengths. You learn more about your surroundings, who's with you, who's not. You learn more about your capabilities. You learn more about your grievances. You learn more about your inhibitions. You learn more about desires. You learn more about your temptations. You learn more about things that you may be hesitant on exploring out of fear. You learn a lot of different things that goes deeper than the reward that you'll receive. The reward that you receive in totality is so much more than just what you're praying for. It's so much deeper than what you're praying for. In your obedience, let's take weight loss. Some people are on this health journey. They want to lose weight. They've overeaten like they do every year. They get to this place. They're like, okay, new year, new me. I want to start over. I want to da 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 da. Okay, great. So you create this new plan. You're following this new plan. You're creating this new way of actually following a strategic approach to your routine. So you're eating differently, you're becoming more active, but eventually you fall off. Why? Because life happens, or because you don't have the time, or you don't have the finances, or you don't have the patience, or whatever. You're not seeing the results in what you're wanting to see. Think about how when we don't get what we want when we want it, we give up on the process because we don't think it's worth the journey. But it isn't just about pounds you lose when you are eating right and you are being physical and you are creating a routine. It is about the inches. It is about the cholesterol. It is about the heart rate. It is also about your high blood pressure. It is also about your triglycerides. It is also about your physicality, your endurance. It is also about your discipline. And it is about your patience with yourself. Oftentimes, how we treat ourselves is how we treat everything. I don't have a lot of patience with myself. I don't have a lot of compassion for myself. I talk negatively to myself. I'm hard on myself. I don't give myself the care I need. I don't give myself the love I need. I don't give myself the strength and the patience and the time I need to get through whatever it is I'm experiencing at the moment, which in return, I'm hard on my relationships. I'm hard on the people I'm in relationship with. I'm very difficult to deal with. I'm very subservient in ways. Sometimes you may be way too passive. You don't stand up for yourself. You don't speak up for yourself. You don't have any self-discipline. You don't know how to remain faithful in a relationship because you don't know how to restrain yourself. You don't know how to commit to something and stick to it. You get bored. You want something else. You don't know how to work through conflict because you don't have time to argue with nobody and you don't want to listen to what anyone has to say. And you already know what is good for you and what's best for you. And you ain't got to listen to nobody else's input. So you leave relationships prematurely, or you don't really fully invest, or you become someone that is unconsciously incapable of partnership. And all of this boils down to understanding the purpose, obedience it requires to continue on that path, and the discipline. Now, where does it say biblically anything about discipline? Like, why do I have to be obedient and think about, yeah, you could be obedient to the word. And yes, I could follow what God is saying. Yes, 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 yes. I could think about all of those things. But where does it say that I have to be disciplined and I am, and that is a part of God's purpose for me on this path? Okay, well, let's look in Proverbs. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Okay, so what are we talking about? Well, prior to verse 7, it says in 1, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, for sayings and riddles of the wise." Then 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Okay. So God wants me to listen. Right. He wants me to be disciplined in my desire to hear him, to follow what he's saying, to understand what he's saying. But what is the benefit of that when I am afflicted? How can I stay the course? What is the benefit of me staying the course? If I know at the core of my obedience, or at the core of this purpose and path that I'm on, it is instructed by God for me to be here. And I know that the reason Noah was instructed to create the ark was because God had intention of destroying the earth due to lack of obedience and lack of discipline from the humans that he created in something he only meant for good. They destroyed it. So in order for him to clear it, he was intending to destroy everything else other than what he had instructed Noah to salvage. Okay. If I know the wrath of God, if I understand just that, I haven't even gotten into all the other ways God sent his wrath, right? I haven't even talked about him destroying the cities. Okay. We're talking about in the beginning, him deciding to wipe the earth clean because what he had created that was originally so beautifully and pure was created so beautiful and pure was destroyed and created with this distortion due to disobedience. If I know what he's capable of, then there's a fear that sets in, because let's think on a practical sense. If I know God put me here to be in this relationship and I go outside of what I am supposed to do within this relationship to nurture it, protect it, grow it. If I go outside of that, I understand that that's disobedience because God has assigned me here. Now, I'm not speaking about being in a relationship and you're mistreated, you're abused. You got to be very clear on what's of God and what is not. Some of it is our doing. We chose a relationship because we like the person. Again, that's that passion and that's that versus purpose. Is this relationship a part of your assignment, or is this really what something you wanted to do because you are attracted to it? It makes you feel good. So there's a difference there. You have to understand that. Did I choose this job because it gives me all the money I want? It gives me the variety and the title I want, but I'm miserable in the core of it. And it's now causing me to be depressed, and it's causing me to be in disassociation with myself. And I'm in conflict with my family. I'm in conflict with myself because I don't have any time for them. Is that God's doing, or is that an affliction that you put upon yourself because you chose that? There's free will, right? And when we go outside of assignment and we do what we want to do, the affliction is unbearable because we're not covered there. Okay, but that's a whole nother thing. So let's talk about the discipline aspect, right? If I know that I'm being obedient to where God is sending me, and I know that I'm being obedient to where God is leading me to go, then no matter how dark the path is, no matter how uncertain the path is, no matter what afflictions I may encounter, I'm covered, I'm protected throughout the journey. So I must remain steadfast. I must remain disciplined. I must remain in position so that when it comes time for me to reap my own seeds that I'm sowing along this journey, it'll be in good faith. It'll be in good hands. It'll be in good. It'll be all good, because that's what God is creating, everything for his good, right? So Proverbs is telling us the importance of listening, right? Paying attention. Beginning of knowledge is the fear. It's the fear of knowing what God is capable of. Okay. I understand what God is capable of. By the time you get to Proverbs, you are well sure of what God can do, what he will do, and what he has strategically told you he will not. Okay? Now, that's Proverbs. Okay? So how do I know that it's not, when you speak about knowledge and you speak about wisdom, how do I know that this is of you, right? It's not me. It's not my own wisdom. It's not my own knowledge. I've researched on the internet or Google. It's not me. It's you. It's wisdom coming from you. Well, you have to really study. And I'm not saying just grab a Bible and just read it for face value. You got to really study. You got to try to study the depth of what the wording means. You got to study the concept. You got to actually look at the totality of beyond a verse in a scripture, because there's so much context that goes into the period and time we are studying. And so to understand God, you got to dig deep and understand him. He didn't speak in clarity. He spoke in parables, which means you have to kind of dig through and figure out what he was talking about during that time. Because again, the Bible is translated. No matter if it's the Quran or if it's the Holy Bible, there are different versions. People have so many different, if you are a fundamentalist, if you are all these things, right? People create their own way of interpreting the Bible. So you have to get clear on what you believe, and you have to get clear on the path that you're on, and you have to really get aligned with, is this of God, or is this to, am I shaping this to be what I want it to be based on what I'm hoping comes to pass? So there's so many different aspects of understanding the journey when you're speaking about having obedience and being disciplined when we're speaking about God and the path and our journey. So when we speak about discipline and we're speaking about the benefits of that, we know that there's so much that can come in our past when we're speaking about it. When we're speaking about God's word, what God wants us to do, how God is, you know, declaring us to go to different. Sometimes God sends us through some valleys that we really, truly wish we never had to go. Think about Joshua. When he sent over there to that Jordan and he asked God, like, why did you send us here knowing what we would be facing? Why did you send us here knowing that we will be up against all of these odds? But it was the discipline. It's the obedience that caused him to ultimately defeat what ultimately looked like he could not defeat. Right? When you're assigned a place, it don't matter what it looked like, you're going to come out on top. But when you're not assigned somewhere and you find yourself going there, you find yourself outnumbered, that's when you are afflicted to the point sometimes of no return. Okay? So then I'm going to move to Hebrews. When we're speaking about discipline, further scriptures that support and give you clarity on the importance and the significance of the path and discipline and obedience. So we're in Hebrews. Okay. Now, of course, we know faith. When we speak about Hebrews 10 and 11, we're talking about now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain what we do not see. So faith is that of which we hope for, but we have no actual proof, right? We have no physical tangibility of knowing that this is actually going to happen, but we're believing it. We're believing it. We're holding on to that belief and we are moving forward. We're understanding that God created everything, right? It wasn't, he didn't create it based on physical proof that it was possible. He created it because that's what he had a vision of. He saw it. We didn't see the people. Nothing was created. He did. So he created that. Now, when you think about faith, faith is something you have to have. It's a necessity on the journey because you are being obedient. You're being disciplined. You're moving through these things. You're hoping it comes to pass. What holds that hope together? Faith. Faith. Faith, 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 faith in my actions moving towards where God is leading me is absolutely what's holding this together. Otherwise, there's no way I'm going to survive it. Okay, there's just no way. So let's speak about the back to the discipline. Okay, so we're speaking about Hebrews and Hebrews 12 and 7 is endure hardship is discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and what we respected them for it. And we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Okay, so when we speak about discipline and being disciplined, we're speaking about two different sides of a coin. When we speak about being disciplined, it is often because we did not do what we were supposed to do. We were being disobedient. Okay, we were not obedient. We did not move in obedience. We moved in a sense of our own free will, and that's outside of where God has assigned us. When that happens, we often are afflicted. Not as a punishment, but as a reminder of who's in charge. Okay, so let's think about it like that. That's the discipline side. Now, being disciplined means you are sticking to what it is you were told to do. You know it's right to do. Even if no one is looking, even if no one is telling you to do it, you know it's what you're supposed to do. You're committing to that. You're moving through that. You're not getting off kilter. You're not getting off the path. You're staying steadfast in what it is that you know you're supposed to do. Now, what does discipline do for us? What does discipline do? Discipline teaches you something. When it speaks of producing a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, in order for a bodybuilder to become a bodybuilder, he has to train his body with weight. Okay, so in the spiritual aspect, Being trained in the spiritual aspect means you're growing through things that are building your spiritual muscles in a way that are providing a capacity for you to be able to carry the heaviness of something you ultimately otherwise would not be able to do. So you're able to carry the weight spiritually because of the things that you've been disciplined enough to go through. Had you given up, you wouldn't be able to pray like you do. You wouldn't be able to fast like you do. You wouldn't be able to have the faith that you do because you would have given up along the way. But the longer you do it, the more you do it, the more strategic you are in the approach, the more steadfast you are, it builds up this spiritual muscle that trains you for the next thing. It trains you for the next obstacle. It trains you for the next opportunity. It trains you to be more aware of what you could potentially face. And because you're chosen and because your assignment is also an assigned space, right? Going outside of what God has assigned you to do makes you disobedient, which on the other side of that coin forces him to discipline you. And oftentimes when we're growing through things, and I say growing through because we don't always look at it like that. Sometimes we look like things that are happening to us. This is happening to me. I am going through something. It don't matter if you're going through something, if you're not growing through it. You have to grow through the obstacles, grow through the pain, grow through the circumstances, grow through the trials, grow through the tribulations, grow, because you don't want to come out of it the same way you went in. And if you don't grow through it, you won't. You will come out, if you come out at all, the same, which means all of it was worthless. You learned nothing from it. There is no upside to the pain. There is no upside to the misfortune. There is no upside to the conflict. There was no upside to the dismay. You went through that for nothing. So being obedient in the process is where we gain so much knowledge and wisdom, because we actually are taking in the journey. We're not just rushing through it. We're not just trying to get through it so that we are not, we could just say we did it and it's over with. And now we got bragging rights because we went through it. You went through it, but you didn't come out the way you were intended to. Think about going through that fiery furnace. You're going through that fiery furnace and God didn't assign you to that fiery furnace. You're going to burn to a crisp. You're going to burn, baby, burn. Okay. But those who are assigned to that furnace, yes, it is hot. Yes, it is scorching. No, I don't want to. I'm not choosing to. I prefer not to, but I'm assigned there. So I'm going to go through and I grow through that. I'm going through that. It is uncomfortable in this furnace. It feels like I'm burning. It feels like my skin is, everything in me is just being destroyed. But as I come out of this furnace, I look unscathed. When you hear people say, I look like nothing I've been through, thank God I don't look like, feel like, talk like, or speak like anything that I've gone through. I mean that. I mean that thing. That's going through that furnace. You were assigned a furnace. You went through the furnace and now you look like you've never been in. So that is when you know you are assigned somewhere. You're being obedient in the process of growing through it. You're being strategic in your approach because you're listening for God's instruction. You're not doing it on your own. And this is where we understand that, listen, it wasn't meant to destroy me. The path was not meant to destroy me. I was meant to go through this because it was teaching me more about myself. It was teaching me how to depend on my faith. It was teaching me how to be more structured in my belief, be more sacred when it comes to how I view what I believe my relationship is with God. It was causing me to pray more. It was forcing me to have no one to depend on but God. It was forcing me to utilize my own judgment based on what I know is right for me because of an intuition I have. But because of the relationship that I have with God, I can listen to him. I know that what he assigns me to doesn't make sense to everybody. I know that what he assigns me to grow through does not make any logical sense to even myself. But growing through this thing, going through this trial, going through this situation has forced me to get real about the things that I needed to get real about within myself. Right? And that is what? Being truthful about the things that you hide from, being honest about the lack of care you've taken of yourself, being truthful when it comes to the things that have caused you emotional turmoil, that have caused you to be afflicted, that have caused you to be left out in the cold, leaving yourself out in the cold, the way that you've mistreated people, the way you've mistreated yourself, the way that you have allowed yourself to be on the backhand of mistreatment because you didn't feel worthy of anything better. This is you sitting with the truth of who you are. It doesn't always feel good. When I say I'm signing up to be faithful and to really commit to God and to really invest in knowing him, getting to know me, getting to know the things that make me feel uncomfortable, that means that I'm going to be presented with circumstances and situations that trigger me to be emotional, that trigger me to have to respond in a way that I would typically not want to respond. This is training me to really walk that talk, right? To not just speak it, but to actually live it. This is where you have ended the cycle of repetitiveness when it comes to being immature, when it comes to being lacking knowledge, when it comes to not being consistent, when it comes to not being emotionally equipped to handle life. Because you've done this. You've been in relationships that are not reciprocal. You've settled for way too less than you deserve when it comes to jobs. You have allowed yourself to give at a deficit. You've allowed yourself to lose track of your goals, lose track of your health, lose track of the things that matter to you. You haven't been able to hold anyone else up or down because you can't do it for yourself. So this is you being forced. This is your mirror. This is what you're asking of God. God is asking this of you. Discipline. And when you're growing through these phases, you have to also be patient because it is a give and take. Remember, you're so used to doing on your own, having it on your own, giving, and not getting anything in return. God is saying this is a reciprocal relationship here. I'm not just giving you an assignment and not willing to pour into it. I just need to know that you really invested. I need to know that you are disciplined enough to see it through. I need to know that you're committed to it like I'm committed to it. Do you love you like I love you? Do you care for you like I care for you? Are you willing to trust me with the most intimate parts of yourself that you don't trust you with? Are you willing to pour into those places that I assign you to? Are you willing? Even when it don't feel good, even when it doesn't look good, even when it gets on your last nerves, are you willing to detach from the version of you you thought you knew to encounter a version of you that is being reborn? That's a newness. And for a lot of us, it is very unexpected. It is very unintentional. We don't creep up on this path of faith. It is circumstances. It's life. It's breakthroughs that happen. It's detours in life. It's relationships that trigger it. It's this repression of our true selves that trigger it. It's rebirth. It's death. It's transformation that happens on a soul level that forces us to dig deep into our faith. To dig deep into what we desire, to dig deep into what we want, to dig deep into that core essence of who we truly are meant to be on the path that God is assigning us to be on. It's about no longer pretending you're okay when you're not. Being proactive in your approach to helping yourself, healing yourself, contributing to the betterment and happiness of yourself. Understanding how fruitful you really are, understanding how much power you really have, understanding that God did not allow this to happen to hurt you. He did not put you in the midst of the storm for you to be destroyed by it. He's giving you the power to calm the storm. You just have to be quiet and listen for the clues of where you actually need to locate the key to do it. You cannot do it when you're as irrational as a storm you are trying to conquer. You can't. There's a calmness that you have to have in order to bring peace to a situation. There's a sense of discernment you have to have in order to know how to birth something beautiful in the midst of chaos. You can't do it if you are matching that energy. So this is where we're learning the beauty of discipline, because if I'm faithful to the process, if I'm committed and I remain steadfast and I don't give up and I don't let my guard down and I allow myself to remain focused, then I know that I'm reaping everything that God has for me. No matter how irrational it may sound, no matter how distorted it may look, when your vision is beyond the common folk or the normality, you can't always say what it is that you know is occurring on a deep level. You have to just do it. And you have to be present as you do it. And you have to be committed as you do it. And you cannot allow yourself to get so overwhelmed with what that looks like that you hold yourself back out of fear. Discipline is your key. Obedience is your key. And that's what's going to unlock the windfall. Okay? So let's go ahead and get into our prayer. And then I'm going to read to you the daily devotion. And we're going to close out this episode. Thank you guys so much for your love. Thank you for your support. Again, I am so grateful that we are here doing this together. This is such an eye-opening time. I mean, it just really just, it's just really beautiful. And I'm truly, truly excited about what's to come from this journey. Okay. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your nurturing kindness that you extend upon us. Thank you so much for directing our path in the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of everything that we may see, everything that we think we need to know and understand, even when we don't. Thank you for giving us clarity. Thank you for giving us peace. Thank you for walking us along the paths and protecting us from any storms that are coming to devour us, anything that is coming to destroy our confidence, to destroy our contentment in you, to destroy our ability to see the power of you. I thank you for removing it now. We thank you for the massive turnarounds and the renewals and the opportunities and the abundance. But most importantly, we thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing us to be the vessels that you have assigned to this particular journey. God, thank you. With you, anything is possible. With you, we can do and conquer everything. There is nothing we lack because of who has chosen us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. In your name, Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Okay, so I am reading from Moments of Peace in the Presence of God Daily Devotional. And the title is The Delight of Creating. The Lord made the heavens and everything in them by his word. Psalm 33:6. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Psalm 37:4. God takes joy in creating. He loves inventing worlds of delight for you. First, he plants a desire in you, a seed that he lovingly nurtures. Undoubtedly, some special hope comes to mind. You know that it originated with him because it is impossible to achieve without him. You know that when it is accomplished, he will receive all the glory and praise. Then he creates conditions for that hope to mature and blossom. Confirmation. He delights in growing it into something that is beyond what you could imagine. And he loves to see your joyous face when you finally grasp the delightful things he created just for you. Dear God, you are my joy. Just as you created the world by your word, I know you are powerfully inventing good things for me. Amen. The evening says, who qualifies? Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. Psalm 10:17. You take notice of trouble and suffering and are always ready to help. The helpless commit themselves to you. You have always helped the needy. Psalm 10:14. When the giant Goliath challenged Israel to send out its mightiest warrior for a duel, no one imagined that it would be David who do the job. The youngest, weakest, and least impressive of his brothers, David was a mere shepherd boy, completely unskilled in issues of war. Nonetheless, God was with him, and Goliath was defeated. You may believe that only the wealthy, strong, or brave qualify for God's help. However, God aids whoever calls upon him, honors him, and entrusts themselves to his care. No matter what you face, trust God to make you victorious. Commit to doing his will and watch every obstacle crumble before you. God, thank you that your only requirement for me is that I be willing to obey you. I pray you that when I'm weak, you're strong. I praise you that when I'm weak, you're strong. Amen. Listen, it has gotten so good. And I hope that you see just how incredible it's getting for you. We're in this together. I love you guys so very much. Please continue on this journey. Stay steadfast. Continue to fight. Whatever Goliath there is in your way, know that being disciplined and obedient is the key. It was never meant to destroy you. It's only meant to make you greater, more powerful, and equipped for the blessings that are en route to you. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself and be gentle with others. Bye.